Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to spend with you and each other, Lord, in your word. And God, I pray for this series that we're doing that you will bless it, that you would speak to us mightily, Lord, and God, that we would understand the things that we're going to be learning. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your word. It's never ending. It's continual. So bless our time as we look at the topic we're going to deal with tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, the title is Fighting and Winning the Spiritual Battle. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we have the ability and the power to live a godly and victorious life in our Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to do in our study this evening is learn about the origin of Satan, our old nature, and the victory God tells us that we can have. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book called The Strategy of Satan. I would highly recommend it, The Strategy of Satan. And he said here, first, Satan is known as deceiver, destroyer, ruler, and accuser. Satan's targets: your mind, your body, your will, your heart, and your conscience. Satan's weapons: lies, suffering, pride, and accusations. Satan's purpose: to make you ignorant of God's will, to make you impatient of God's will, and to make you independent of God's will. Fifth, our defense: the inspired word of God, the imparted grace of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and the interceding of the Son of God as Jesus makes intercession for us. So tonight, I'm going to look at seven areas of this spiritual battle. And again, this is something I would normally do in a class. It has a lot of questions that you might come up with, so get ready to write them down as I go through this. The first area is Satan's existence and personality. Number one is existence, his fall, and his methods. In Genesis 3, verses 1 to 9, we have the temptation and the fall. Of course, that was with Adam and Eve in the garden. Isaiah 14, I highly recommend you read it. It's the fall of Lucifer. Ezekiel 28 is when Satan was created. Matthew 13, verse 19 and 39. Jesus talked about the sower and the seed. Jesus said Satan snatches away the word. John 13, 2, Satan placed in Judas' heart to betray Jesus. Now, this is all about the devil, and this is probably why my kidney's acting up tonight. Secondly, his personality. John 8, 4, 4, murder, there's no truth in him, he's a liar, has devilish desires. John 10, 10, Jesus said he's a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, 14, it says that Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He can look like an angel of light. The second area is Satan's place and power. Number one, he's a mighty angel. We read in the book of Daniel and also in the letter to the Ephesians that there are different orders of angels, both good and bad. Satan, in his demon world, he has ranks. He has his generals, his majors, his lieutenants, his sergeants, his privates. But God also has his ranks of angels. We know of Michael, the archangel. He is known as a warrior angel. We see him mentioned in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, in the New Testament in Jude. There's Gabriel, the archangel. He's a messenger angel. We see him in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and we see him in Luke's gospel when Gabriel came and announced to Mary and to Joseph. that she would be with child by the Holy Spirit. So in the triunity of God, it is believed that Satan at one time was an archangel before he fell, that he actually led worship before the throne of God. You read those two passages in Ezekiel and Isaiah, you'll find that he had pipes built in the front of him. As we believe, he led worship. He is referred to as the angel that covered. He hovered over the throne of God and led worship as the angelic beings would come and worship God, which many believe caused pride to enter in, and he wanted to be the boss. That's when he got kicked out. Jude verses 8 and 9. The devil fought with Michael the archangel over the body of Moses. Now, after God buried Moses' body, if Satan could have resurrected in it, he could have led 4 point some million people, the Jewish people and those that came out of Egypt with the Jews, he could have led them astray. And Michael, being a warrior angel, the fighter, he didn't fight with Satan. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." I mean, he wouldn't even mess with him. He knew the power was in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you can't say, "I rebuke you, Satan." He's just going to sit there and laugh. "The Lord rebukes you, Satan." Daniel 10, 21 days, the angel hindered Michael, who is a warrior angel. Satan hindered him. Tells you that Satan is extremely powerful, way more powerful than us. In Luke 11, 21, Jesus referred to him as a strong man. You know why the reason Satan is trying to destroy you and me? Revelation 20, verse 10 says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan knows this. He knows this. That's why Revelation 12, 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." That's going to be at the beginning of the 7 years. You know, there's an interesting story on how Martin Luther described the devil. Martin Luther was often very graphic in his description of the activities of the devil. Asked one time how he overcame the devil, I love his reply. He said, "Well, when he comes knocking on the door of my heart and asks who lives here, the Lord Jesus goes to the door and says, 'Martin Luther used to live here, but he has moved out. Now I live here.'" The devil, seeing the nail prints in his hands and the pierced side, immediately takes flight. I love that. Secondly, he's the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. We were in his power. Before we became a born-again believer, we were in Satan's power. Matthew 12:24. He's called Beelzebub, which means what? The ruler of the demons. Luke 11, verse 14 to 18, Jesus said, "If Satan is divided against himself, he can't stand." Thirdly, he's a god of this world. John 12, 31, Satan will be cast out. Now we know when he fell, he got cast out of heaven. We know that. But he's able to go to and fro from the earth back to heaven. We've seen him when he presented himself with the sons of God, Job. We saw him, Zechariah, when Satan withstood Joshua the high priest. His final cast out, and he won't be back into heaven no more, is when he's sent down during that 7-year great tribulation. So it's kind of a stages thing with him. He won't be able to go to heaven anymore after that. John 14, 30 and John 16, 11. Jesus said that he is the ruler of this world. Fourth, he's the head of this kingdom. Acts 26:18. Jesus told the Apostle Paul that he was going to use him to turn the people from darkness to light, from Satan to God. Colossians 1, verses 12 to 13. God rescued us from the power of Satan. That's when we became a born-again believer. Fifth, he has lost the keys to death. Hebrews 2:14, Jesus is the ultimate victor because through death, Jesus destroyed him, the devil, who had the power of death. Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I'm he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He's got the keys now. Satan doesn't have them anymore. The third area is Satan's character. First of all, he's our adversary. Zechariah 3 verse 1. I just mentioned this a while back. Satan stood up to oppose Joshua the high priest. 1 Peter 5:8. Devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Secondly, he's the accuser. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 7. Satan told Eve, did God really say you can't eat of every tree in the garden? You know what he was doing? He tempted Eve to doubt God's word. Job 1:9, the devil accused Job before God. Job 2:4, the devil accused Job again before God. Revelation 12:10, the devil accuses the brethren. Guess what? That's you and me, brothers and sisters, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is accusing us before the throne. Third, he's the wicked one. Matthew 13:19 and 1 John 5:19. Fourth, he's the tempter. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. When Christ was tempted by Satan, he tempted him in three areas. First, he tempted Jesus physically. I mean, Jesus just came out of the desert. He hadn't eaten or done anything in 40 days. Satan said, turn this stone to bread, knowing that Jesus was hungry. Secondly, he tempted him with the world. He offered Jesus the world if Jesus would worship him. And the third area, he tempted him spiritually. He tempted Jesus to jump off the corner of the temple and commit suicide. Each time, Jesus came back with the word of God. That's why it's so important to know God's word. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan can even transform himself into an angel of light. That's why, man, we got to be careful. He can transform himself into an angel of light. Fifth, he's a liar. Jesus said in John 8:44, and he was speaking to the Jewish leaders. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The fourth area, mankind's fall in the garden and sinful beginnings. In Genesis chapters 1 to 3, we're told God created the heavens and the earth. God said his creation was very good. We witness mankind's free will. How? God told them, don't eat of the tree of good and evil or you will die. Man's free will. We still have free will today. Sin came in the garden. It was Satan disguised as a serpent. And he deceived Eve, and Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and he fell into sin. God sent sinful man out of the garden. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. Satan's pride his fall and his fate was predicted by Isaiah the prophet. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 19. Satan's fall. Read those two chapters when you get a chance. The fifth area, man's heart and tendencies. Jeremiah 17:9. Most of you know this. Man's heart is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked, the scripture says. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, and I've had people tell me that I'm not a sinner, it says we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You could take that to the bank where we've all been cleansed of our sin. It's gone. We remember it. Satan remembers it. Our friends and associates remember it. But God doesn't remember it anymore. And that's the best part. The sixth area, God's gracious answer to our sinfulness. This is where it gets better. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. God forgives and cleanses us of all our sin. Total cleansing. We will never, ever stand before God and have to give account on any of our sin. It's done. It was nailed on the cross 2,000 years ago. So people need to quit. You guys need to quit tripping out over it. It's done. It's a done deal. Romans 6:23. I use this verse a lot when I do an evangelistic outreach in a field or whatever the case might be. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we deserve death, but we're offered life. And those of us on this line took life, and we became a born-again believer and have been completely and totally forgiven of our sin. John 1:29. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 3, verse 16 and 17. Most of you should know this by now. Believe and receive eternal life. I mean, it was God's plan all along. The fall in the garden with Adam and Eve, and Satan didn't catch him off guard. He knew what was going to happen. He already had redemption taken care of for us. That word believe from the Greek Aramaic New Testament, it means rely on, trust in, and cling to. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody. The seventh and last area is the sin and the power God gives us over it. Romans chapter 6 says that we have died with Christ and we are now alive in him. We've studied before and talked about in Romans chapter 7 verses 15 to 25 that Paul had the same struggle as we have today. Paul the apostle. He said, man, the things I don't want to do, I practice. The things that I should do, I don't do. He says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here's what we need to understand. As believers, we have a good and bad nature. We live in the midst of a spiritual tug of war. Adam and Eve were the first to fall in this battle. They faced the very first temptation in the garden. The first temptation, and they fell. It's actually where our spiritual battle began. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That word carnal means man-made, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I want you guys to grasp these scriptures. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That means have an alert mind all the time. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare, and we're in a war, it's a spiritual war, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Galatians 4:9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It goes back to Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. When Robinson Crusoe's Good Man Friday asked him, why doesn't God destroy the devil? Robinson Crusoe gave him the right answer, the only answer, the great answer. God will destroy Satan. I love it. A scripture that has been a great comfort to me through the years is Philippians 4:13. Some of you might know it. I had it on a plaque on my pulpit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to leave you with what Paul the Apostle said 3 weeks before he was going to be beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last known literature that Paul had ever written. Verse 7 to 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only. Here's where we come in. But also to all who have loved his appearing. We're looking for Christ to come. We love it, and we can't wait for him to get here and take us to heaven. And there's a crown of righteousness for us in that. Fighting and winning the spiritual war. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time, Lord, that you've given us. And God, just the scriptures that we have that we can reflect on when we're going through this battle on a continual basis. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to equip us, keep us strong in you, Lord. Empower us through the Holy Spirit to be the men and women that you called us to be, that we desire to be, God. Help us, Father, in these final moments of church history. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.